Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Unusual Experiences, Volume 1, Story 1. Almost from day one, I've had some rather unusual experiences here. From friends who ask about figures looking out of windows and sitting on my balcony, to the sound of footsteps walking up and down the hallway late at night, the place has generally been a classic haunted house. There are three experiences that stand out over all the general creepiness. The first occurred about a year after I moved in. The house was empty except for myself. I was relaxing with a book when I heard the sound of footsteps in the hallway. I put the book down and waited. The footsteps came to my bedroom door and ceased. A minute went by without any further occurrence, so I picked up my book. As I began to read, I heard a soft knock on the door. I set the book down again and asked who was at the door. Silence. Then I heard another knock. Again, I asked who was at the door. Again, there was no answer. I started to get up when I heard a female voice call my name. The voice came from the hallway and was loud enough to be heard through the door. I did not recognize the voice. The voice also sounded strange, as though it were an echo. I went to the door and opened it. No one was in the hallway, and after a search, the house was empty. The second occurred about 4 months after the first. It was late in the afternoon, and I was working on my computer when I heard a knock on my bedroom door. I stood up and went to the door, only to find there was no one there. I went back to my work when I heard the knocking again. This time, it was louder. This time, I called out that I wasn't going to be toyed with, and that if they wanted my attention, they would have to do more than tap and make funny noises. I'd only finished his statement when I heard a crash from my closet. I stood up and went to check. Sitting on the floor was a picture frame I had put on the top shelf, about 7 feet off the floor. The glass was not cracked, and the frame had no scratches or dings, as one expects after falling that far. I took the frame and replaced it on the shelf, adding a heavy book to keep it there. Minutes later, I heard another bang from the closet. The same picture frame had fallen again. The glass was not broken, and the book remained on the shelf. I spoke up and said that I felt it was rude to throw another person's possessions around without permission. Nothing further occurred that day. The last occurred only about a year ago. It was a Saturday night, and I had turned in early after a hectic day. I woke up suddenly in the middle of the night with a distinct feeling that I was not alone. I opened my eyes and saw a dark figure at the foot of the bed. It seemed to stare at me for a long time before leaning closer. I spoke up and said that it had no business being in my room, and I wanted it to leave. It seemed to hover in place before withdrawing and fading into the shadows. Story number two. Here's a story from my life. It's not much. I suspect lots of weird stuff has happened to me that I've repressed or compartmentalized, but this is something I vividly remember. My family was in the process of moving from one house into a new one still under construction. I was in 8th grade, my sister in 9th. For a few months, we lived in two apartments of this super old large building in Mattawan, New Jersey. Parents had the upstairs apartment, and me, my sister, and grandma had the downstairs. Also, our dog stayed in our apartment. I had started learning to play guitar at this time and was not into school. Several times I faked being sick to get to stay home for the day. My mom worked in the converted basement of the building, which is basically her office, landscaping, company secretary, etc. When I faked sick, I would somehow convince my grandma to let me go to the upstairs apartment alone for a while. I would just go and play guitar in a connected room that wasn't part of their apartment, but was an unoccupied empty office where they let me play guitar. They had the key to it. Anyway, so here's the creepy part. I never even once felt weird or scared in our downstairs apartment. It was comfy and normal. But the moment I entered a stairwell leading up to the upstairs apartment, I would instantly and always feel like I wasn't actually alone. It was a very vivid feeling that something, somebody is aware that I just entered and they can hear and maybe see me ascending this tiny, cramped, creepy stairwell up to the top. And in the apartment, the feeling was intense. It was nothing to do with unfamiliarity. I was as familiar with it as downstairs as when our parents were there at night. We'd often go spend time with them. This feeling of being watched would be strongest, incredibly so, in the bathroom. It was a weird bathroom, and the ceiling sloped down and had this weird rounded part that was like 4 feet high over the sink. It was all white with a shower bathtub with curtain, toilet, sink, mirror. It actually creeps me out now to recall the feeling. It's like there was a ghost just standing there staring at me as soon as I entered the apartment. There was never any creepy people or weirdos to get bad vibes from there. No rational reason for this fear. I never felt scared being alone, etc. It was just that apartment. So anyway, years and years later, we just happened to be talking about those days and about the apartment time period, and I told them about how creepy their upstairs apartment was. They told me in all seriousness that they knew all along the history of the place, but didn't want to scare us kids, and they were not believers in paranormal stuff, so figured if we didn't know, it would never be a problem. Turns out the previous occupants, or maybe some years before, was an elderly woman and her adult son. Can you guess where this is going? Son bashes mom's head in with a hammer in the bathroom. Somewhat related, but incidental sometimes. I think spirits of deceased musicians pass through me when playing guitar. I'm not entirely opposed. But I know a lot of people would immediately assume it's demons. I think it kind of makes sense. Imagine you're a musician that died, but are able to find a living musician you like, who you can influence. It just feels like sometimes I'm no longer just myself. I will go on autopilot like I'm someone else. Someone good, though. Story number 3. A couple of years before she passed away from a long illness, my mother told me that she had been tormented during her childhood by seeing soldiers at night in her parents' small home. She told me that they came through, literally through, without opening the kitchen door that opened onto the enclosed porch. In turn, this enclosed porch opened to the outdoors. She said they were black, like shadows, and that she knew they were soldiers because they all wore little army caps. She said they would run all over the house and look into all the rooms, and that she couldn't sleep because she was so frightened of them. Well, there was something about this story that bothered me, but I couldn't quite figure out what it was. I would have forgotten it, I guess, except that she brought it up several times before she passed. Then one day I remembered vividly. I was just a little kid. I have no idea how old, but I'm guessing 4th grade or less. Maybe not even in school yet. Staying a few weeks at grandma's as we did every summer. I was sleeping in the little guest room. I could see straight into the kitchen from this room. It was exactly where my mother would have been. I woke up suddenly and I saw some men. 3 or 4 of them, with the man in the lead being a little shorter than the others, come literally through the locked kitchen porch door into the kitchen. I saw them very clearly in the light coming through the kitchen curtains from the streetlight outside. I realized they were in some kind of dress shirts because I could perceive a sharp crease down the long sleeve of the shorter man in the lead. They were totally black, blacker than the darkness. They were what people call shadow people. That wasn't what I found most terrifying, though. It was that each of them had a strange ridge of or crest on their heads that I couldn't understand or make out. These shadow men lingered briefly in front of the kitchen sink and curtain window as though they were laughing and talking. Then they surged to the door leading into the front room where my grandmother was sleeping on the sofa. From there, they came striding through the kitchen and straight toward me. I remember that I had my mouth open to scream when my grandmother came out of the front room and walked straight through them as though they weren't even there. Such a wave of relief came over me that my little head plopped back onto the pillow and I fell right back to sleep. I puzzled over it the following day but told myself that the men must have been just the tail end of a dream I had been having. I probably hadn't thought about it in decades, until my mother's story brought the memory back up. Her story solved a minor mystery about it, I realized. What I had perceived as a crest or ridge on the man's head was in fact an army side cap or garrison hat. I wouldn't have been familiar enough with those as a child to have made any connection. Anyway, it's clear to me now that what I saw was the same thing as my mother had seen as a child, soldiers coming in the house and looking in all the rooms. What did I see, really? Astronomers and physicists tell us that the universe is made up mostly of mysterious dark matter that no one understands yet. Are there people made of dark matter, living in dimensions that overlap our own? Is that what I saw? And why did my grandmother, who was strongly psychic, not perceive them at all? I guess I will never know. Next story. This happened a number of years ago. I got up around 4:30 a.m. to give the cat his breakfast. Don't ask. It's a Frankenstein monster that I created myself. I walked into the kitchen and the light under the stove hood was turned on. I thought, that's convenient. It's just enough light to see by without needing to turn on the main overhead kitchen light. So I fed the cat, turned off the stove hood light, and went back to bed. Next morning, I told my wife, "Thanks for leaving that stove light on. That was perfect for feeding the cat this morning." She replied by basically saying, "I have no idea what you're talking about." So I shrugged it off and attributed it to some freak accident where that light was accidentally turned on the evening before. A few weeks later, I got up to feed the cat, and same thing. The stove hood light is turned on. Again, I asked my wife about it, and again, she said she had nothing to do with it. A couple of months after that, my sister-in-law comes to visit. She's a Reiki master and has also been trained in related skills. We tell her about the stove hood light incidents, and she says she will look into it while she's visiting. A day or so later, she comes out of her guest room and says that the stove light is being turned on by a departed family member who is simply trying to communicate to say that they're all right. We have both had elderly family members pass away in recent years, and my sister-in-law admitted that she was not skilled enough to determine who exactly it was. She could only say there was nothing malicious behind it. It was merely a departed one trying to communicate, and we should not worry about it. She also mentioned that several other departed people wandering in the area were attracted to her Reiki activities on our behalf, and she helped them to cross over. I should note that there is a nursing home that is located within walking distance of here, and hardly a week goes by that the fire department and an ambulance isn't heard going to that place. Of course, we never know the details, but you have to assume that many times it's because someone living there has passed away. At any rate, after my sister-in-law came to visit and did her Reiki thing, the stove hood light has never again been found to be turned on at the pre-dawn time of cat feeding, from the day until now. Next story. This is not my story. It was told to me a couple of different ways, as you will see, by an elderly woman. When she was first married in the 50s, and her husband and her moved into a small farmhouse on some land out in the middle of nowhere, her father-in-law had gotten the farm for a song and had asked her husband to move there and run the farm for him. She wasn't happy about it. They had previously lived in a large town. Her husband had a lucrative job, and they had a thriving social life. They went from that to almost total isolation, and with no money coming in, she was also heavily pregnant. Strange things began to happen at the house. They began to hear what sounded like someone walking around the attic. The front door, which was locked each night, was found standing open every morning. She walked into the bathroom one morning to find the bathroom sink full of bloody water. One day, as she hung laundry outside, the stray German shepherd dog she had adopted began to howl and howl, and when she looked up, she saw that the curtains inside the house were moving as though they were being blown by a strong wind, despite all the windows being shut. Her conclusion was that there was something wrong with the house, that it was haunted. One day, during a trip to the nearest small town for groceries, she was chatting with another woman who asked where she lived. When she told her, the woman gasped, "Oh, you don't live in that house. I could never live there." When she asked why, the woman clammed up and refused to say. This strengthened her idea that the house was haunted. She speculated that someone had committed suicide in the house, and the stigma surrounding suicide explained people's refusal to discuss it. The strange occurrences continued. With her pregnancy advancing, she finally demanded that her husband move her to her parents' home an hour or so away. He refused to go into the attic to get things she had stored there, and many of her mementos were left behind, never to be seen again. Fast forward several decades. She was watching a television show about serial murderers. She told me it was like an old-fashioned kaleidoscope where you turn it and a whole different pattern emerges. Suddenly, she remembered vividly something she had seen one night as she lay awake in her bed there. Out of the large cornfield next to the house had walked the man who owned a large dairy cattle operation down the road. He stood there for a moment in the light of the moon and then walked toward the road in front. She said that at the time she really thought nothing of it, assuming that he was looking for a cow that had gotten loose. Now, though, she found herself wondering, had this man been coming in and out of her house? She remembered that the old windows were so loose in the frames that they opened easily from outside as well as inside, and like most country people of that era, they didn't lock them at night. She found herself wondering, did someone commit suicide there? Or had someone been raped and or murdered? So many decades after briefly living there, she wondered, haunted house or very much alive, uninvited, and dangerous house guest? Next story. For a few years in the 80s and early 90s, I lived in an old house in a town called Ridley Park in Pennsylvania. Every single night as I would be starting to fall asleep, something small in my room would fly off a shelf and hit the floor. I would be startled for a second and then just go to sleep. Our housekeeper would tell me to be careful in my room because she said she would constantly hear people stomping around in my room during the day when I was at school. So, early one morning as daylight started to fill my room, I was lying in bed and out of nowhere, a loud, hoarse breathing started at the foot of my bed. I was literally frozen with fear, especially because my bedroom door had an actual deadbolt on it that I always kept locked at night. So after about 30 seconds, it just stopped and I shrugged it off. I never told anyone and just forgot about it. Fast forward 3 years, and I was 15. I'd been living at my father's for years, divorced parents, and my mother was getting my old room set up as part of an apartment that she sectioned off on that side of the house. One weekend, I had a friend come and stay with us for the weekend, and we decided to crash in my old room since it was empty and we wouldn't be bothered by younger siblings. In the middle of the night, I woke to my friend kicking and shaking me awake. When I woke up and asked him what was going on, he said that he woke up to somebody breathing hoarsely next to the right side of his face. My blood ran cold. To make things worse, he said he couldn't feel the breath on his face, just hear it. There was another room downstairs in that home that used to be a servant's kitchen that was haunted as well. So now it's 2 years later, I'm 17, my father kicked me out of his house in New Jersey, and I moved back into my mother's Pennsylvania haunted home. The house was huge, and my mother had turned the second and third floors into two separate apartments. So I moved into the room downstairs that used to be the servant's kitchen 100 years earlier. This room had two doors that used to open from the old kitchen to the front of the house outside. Now that it was a bedroom, more like a studio apartment, both of those doors that led outside had been screwed shut and sealed airtight with caulk. But they still looked like doors with knobs and all. One weeknight, I was woken by the sound of very loud boots on the hardwood floor walking around my bed and across the room. I flipped over in bed to see who was there, and I could see no one. But the footfalls continued up to one of the sealed doors. Then I could hear it jiggling the doorknob on one of those sealed doors with obvious frustration trying to open it. I was terrified and sitting up in bed facing the invisible intruder. I could see nothing. After about a full minute of it violently working the doorknob, I finally spoke up and said out loud, "The door is sealed shut and won't open." Instantly all the commotion stopped and silence returned. I remember that it was a few minutes before midnight when this happened. Next story. These are my father's stories. I didn't hear them from him, but rather from my mother. Dad was quite reserved and not one for interacting with children. Anyway, Mom told me, and this would have happened back in the 60s or very early 70s, that my father had seen UFOs several times and that it terrified him. We were living at the time on a farm that belonged to my grandmother, my dad's mother, and Dad both worked a full-time job and farmed. Because of his job, he often found himself working with a tractor out on the farm at night. What he told my mother was that he had been out on the tractor working the piece of ground furthest from the house, 3 or 4 fields out, probably about 1/2 mile. To the south, the land sloped gently away into some very rough pasture, land that belonged to someone else. Beyond that was all marsh, a waterfowl management area. Keep in mind, my father was born and raised on that farm. He knew every animal and bird out there and had worked and played all over it and beyond it. The big John Deere tractor he was on would have put his line of sight about 9 or 10 feet off the ground since he was a big, tall man. This was before enclosed cabs, so what he saw wasn't a reflection or anything. What he saw in the darkness was on the mud flats surrounding the marsh water. He told Mom that he saw several metal discs rise out of the mud. He said that the mud just shed right off them, and they were bright silver and metallic. He said that as each one came up, it would just hover several feet off the ground, and then suddenly all tilted sharply and flew up into the night sky, all equidistant from each other, and disappeared. He said that they flew and disappeared so suddenly and quickly that if he had blinked, he would have missed it. As he told his story, my mother said that he choked up and began to sob, big racking sobs. She asked him what was wrong, and he told her that he didn't know what they were and that he didn't know if he could protect us from them. That would have been very much in character with my father. He was definitely a very traditional person and saw himself as the head and protector of the family. He apparently saw these mysterious discs several times. It frightened him so badly that he was taking his pistol with him out when he went on the tractor. Now, that shocked me. I knew for a fact that my father didn't believe that guns and tractors mixed. I once heard him say that due to all the protruding knobs and steps, vibration, and so on, that a gun didn't belong in a tractor. I also knew that a friend of my father's had nearly been killed accidentally by taking a gun on a tractor. This fellow took his rifle aboard, thinking he would get one of the deer he had seen, but accidentally caught the gun on something and shot himself in the leg and nearly bled to death of that serious wound before someone found him. So if my father was taking a gun on the tractor, well, he was frightened. What were they? I don't know. It was long before drone technology, that's for sure. Next story. My father worked for what many call the military industrial complex. Like most such work, it was at an isolated facility with heavy security clearances and so on. He told my mother that he had seen several times the classic disc-like UFOs with a sort of cockpit on top. He told her that they came up out of the ravine surrounding the area and would only be in sight for a moment and then would streak off and disappear into another ravine or gully. He told her that once he had seen something in one of them. When I asked her what, my mother would only shake her head. I assume, and this is just me assuming, that she didn't want to put it into words. An alien. Now, all that is interesting enough, but for me what is more interesting is something that happened decades later, after my father had passed away. I had stopped by the residence of a friend of my father's who had worked with him for many years. Now this guy was actually a couple years younger than me, but had been a protege of my dad's and a close friend. My parents viewed him as an honorary son. While I sat down and was chatting about this and that with him out in his shop, we had gotten into the subject of the small herds of deer that had been around, and he mentioned that the wildlife was one of the things he liked about his job. Again, this was military industrial stuff at an isolated facility. And yes, there were deer, birds of prey, and many other kinds of animals out there. Well, I said to him, sort of half-joking, I understand you guys used to see UFOs too. Nothing I have ever said before or since ever brought forth quite such a reaction. He jolted as though I had reached over and touched him with a cattle prod. His butt must have come up 6 or 8 inches off the chair he was sitting on. He wrapped his arms around himself, dropped his head to his chest, and began to shake violently and to babble. No, 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 no. No one is going to talk about that stuff. No. No one wants to be laughed at. No one is going to lose their security clearance. No one is going to talk about that stuff. No. At last he stopped talking altogether and just sat there with his arms around himself, eyes squeezed shut, and chin on his chest. It took me a couple of minutes to find my lower jaw and pick it up off the floor. I just stared at him. Finally I said, well, it sounds like no one's going to talk about any of that stuff. And I chuckled kind of uncomfortably and changed the subject to something innocuous and just talked as calmly as I could. He finally opened one eye and swiveled it onto me. Then slowly he unwound his arms from around himself and sat up and finally began to talk to me, but with a strange, suspicious sort of attitude. I finally excused myself and left. As I drove away, and ever since, I have wondered, no one is going to ever talk about any of what stuff. Next story. There were spirits in my house. The family that lived there had a grandfather who lived with them and died in the house. The mother of 4 children lived there with her husband and the children. Their son died riding a moped to school. She died while driving with her children when she turned around to discipline one of the kids in the back seat. My brother saw her several times there in the house. I didn't see her. I asked him where he saw her. We were having a beverage at the snack bar in the kitchen. He was facing, looking past me, down into the hallway to the bedrooms. She came out of what might have been one of the kids' room and walked down the hall. He said she was blonde, wearing a red dress, but I knew she is or was there. One day I was in the bedroom just starting to get dressed and was firmly touched by a cold hand on my backside. I stood straight up and turned to see who did that. No one was there. I used to shave in the shower using Old Spice glass shaving and mug and brush. There was a small corner shelf about 6 feet above the tub at the end of the tub shower that I put my mug on. I had the Old Spice mug come off the shelf, bounce on the cast iron tub, and not break. After the first incident, I made sure to put the mug securely on the shelf, but it happened several times. The mug never broke or even got a chip. After many times of this happening, I stopped using the mug in the shower and used the bathroom sink to shave. On the same shelf unit where the mug had been, I had a big nail cleaning brush on the top of the unit. I still do, as a matter of fact. A big bar of Safeguard soap sits on the upturned bristles of the brush to let the bar of soap dry. The brush would bounce on the bottom of the tub, and the bar of soap that sat on the top of the brush would still be sitting there on the shelf. Physics will tell you that cannot happen, but it happened many times. I walked into my basement and would walk into some very cold spots. My brother-in-law's wife, we'll call her Lynn, now divorced, went down to the basement to get something off the shelves for a meal we were cooking. She came flying back up, and her face showed fear. She said, "I don't know what is down there, but I'm never going down there again." A lot more about Lynn later. The psychic Sylvia Brown said that she got rid of spirits by telling them, "Go to the light." I did that and haven't had any experiences for a long time. This is the part about the person I called Lynn, my brother-in-law's divorced wife. These things all happened before they divorced, and I never have had any contact with her. They had bought a house not far from us, and we went there many times. They had a son we'll call Charles. He was getting to the age he could talk and also may be able to climb out of his crib. To prevent him from getting out and falling down the stairs of the two-story house, they had put a wood-frame screen door on his doorway with a hook and eye to keep him from getting out. But he could see out, and Mom and Dad could look in and check on him. Lynn heard Charles talking to someone. She asked Charles who he was talking to. He said the soldier. Lynn didn't see anyone and brushed it off as a young child's play games to entertain himself. Well, this happened often, and Charles always said it was a soldier he was talking to. One day Lynn heard Charles talking and quietly came into the screen door and saw a Hessian soldier in uniform talking to Charles. This house was in an area not far from revolutionary battles. Lynn had some abilities very hard to explain, but had proven her ability many times, as you will see. She saw the Hessian soldier several times. One day Lynn was carrying a basket of clothes up the stairs and lost her balance and started to fall backwards when, as she told it, I felt hands on my back pushing me back up and stopping my fall. She believed it was a soldier. Next story. This was creepy and mysterious and from the 1970s. My family was living in a home that had belonged to my grandmother, who had remarried and moved away. Nice little comfortable home. Well, one evening, my mother, my cousin, my sister, and I were all watching some sort of horror show on television. Might have been the old Night Gallery with Rod Serling. Something terrible had killed several people, and right at the end, the monster is going to be shown. First, there was a pair of awful demonic red eyes as the thing materialized. We all let out little gasps of horror and excitement. Exactly then, a huge rush of air came whooshing in the open window, blew the curtains into the room, knocked the lamp over, and every light in the house went out. There was a giant crack as well. All of us screamed. My mother was a level-headed kind of woman and got herself together, got a flashlight and checked the fuse box and got the lights back on. Of course, we girls were clinging to her like barnacles. We were in our late tweens or early teens and very spooked. Mom then walked outside to see what the big crack noise had been. It proved to be a huge branch that had fallen from one of the trees and apparently bounced off the power line before hitting the ground. We never did get to see the last few minutes of the show. Here's a really spooky part. No one but us had the sudden windstorm, not even the immediate neighbors. Mom asked people she worked with, people at the grocery store, the neighbors. No one had any wind at all. Just a quiet and pleasant summer evening. In later years, I wondered, did our intense fear and excitement cause it to happen in somewhat the same way that poltergeist activity is often associated with young girls? Who knows? Now, there was a strange echo of this incident years later. My family had moved back to our original property, the one with the old haunted house that dates back to 1898, but into a new mobile home across the driveway from that house. We were chatting to a friend of my father's about TV shows we were watching, including a scary episode of The X-Files. We had all been involved with the critters with green eyes. Well, as I opened my mouth to mention this, it was though I heard someone scream into my mind, "Don't talk about that." It was too late. The words were out of my mouth. The consequences were immediate. From an adjacent room came a series of crashes and bangs that raised us several inches off our seats. There was a rolling noise, and out of the room came a Tupperware spaghetti keeper that had been sitting for several years on the top of a bookcase in that room. It rolled out of there and stopped right in the middle of the hall. All of us stared at it, speechless. I finally got up, walked over, and picked it up. It seemed harmless, but it sure broke up the conversation. My father's friend excused himself and left. Here's the strange thing. The spaghetti keeper hadn't just been sitting there for several years. It had quite a layer of dust on it, and had surely been sitting there since we'd moved in. It had also been surrounded by other items that didn't move. So, did it jump over them? Who knows? Finally, that room eventually ended up being my bedroom for a while. One morning, I was in that comfortable limbo between sleep and being awake when I heard, clear as a bell, a voice say, "Call upon the demon something or other." I don't remember the name and definitely don't care to. All I remember is that it started with the letter A and sounded like what I imagine ancient Babylonian or something would sound like. Well, that made my eyes snap open, and I said out loud, "No!" And then, "Depart from me, evil one, by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ." I had never been quite sure whether all these incidents were related, or whether it just seemed as though they might have been. The only other thing that ever seemed odd was that while I had that room, I would often think that I heard footsteps along the carpeted hallway. Got up and looked a few times, and there was never anyone there, so I began to just write it off as imagination, until one day, when one of the house cats was in the room with me. He clearly heard the footsteps, too, and crept towards the door and bent down and tried to see under the door. There were a couple of inches between the bottom of the door and the top of the carpet. Then he backed away and looked up at me, clearly scared. Got up and opened the door. Nothing was there, but both the cat and I had heard the footsteps. Next story. Growing up, my father was a caretaker at a large cemetery in western Kentucky. There was a house on the property that we lived in as part of his salary, and it was nice living on 100 acres. My childhood was awesome, being able to play and roam wherever there. The cemetery and home only dated back to 1960, so it wasn't very old like most of these stories. I had forgotten this one story, though, as I was about 3 or so when it happened, but I do remember bits of things from when I was a little bit older, but was reminded of it the other day when talking with some co-workers and my dad. But I was taking a bath, playing, one evening before bed when I thought I heard my mother walk past the doorway in her nightgown. I called out, "Mom," but she didn't respond. Come to find out, she was outside doing her nightly watering of her plants. Growing up, I was always afraid of the dark, sleeping with night lights or my parents, always turning lights on when I went into a room or down the hall. One night, when I was around the same age or a little older, it was just me and my father home. I needed to use the bathroom on the other end of the house in the hallway. I decided I was going to face fears and not turn on the light. All I remember was getting halfway down and suddenly couldn't move, speak, or anything. Almost like some of these sleep paralysis stories, but I was awake. I was finally able to scream for my dad, and it finally ended. I don't know if it was anything, but it freaked me out for several years. Now, a story from my parents in the same home. We had 2 living rooms. One was my TV room, and the other my parents', and it had a bathroom on it. One day my mom got out of the shower and swore she saw a little girl in the living room. She searched the house thinking a child visiting the cemetery with family may have come in the house, but found no one. She told my dad about it, and he laughed it off. One night, a few days or so later, late in the evening, he was up watching UK basketball. He saw the same little girl walk between him and the TV. Needless to say, he went right to bed. He did some investigating in the office and come to find out a birth date on a little girl's monument he had laid to rest months before was wrong. Once he got it fixed, they never saw her again. Another store at a parent's house home that we used to camp with, we went to visit her one Saturday afternoon. It was getting kind of stormy out, and the adults were out on the covered patio talking and smoking while I was around 12 or so at that time, was inside watching TV and playing with her dogs and cats. I saw something out of the corner of my eye, so I turned to look at the ceiling. I saw a gold glowing orb, plain as day, as it moved around a bit several feet and then just disappeared. I quickly ran outside and told them, and my parents' friend said that it was an angel and that she had seen it before herself.